Good morning, Faith Community. So, Chris, I got to tell you, I hear that your title is director of VBS. I think we should call you queen of VBS. So, thank you. Thank you for all your love and work. There's a lot of life going on here at Faith Community. It's exciting to be a part of this body. Will you pray with me? Lord, we look to you this morning. Lord, you call out to us. You call out to each one of us, and you call out to us as a body. Lord, help us to respond to you. Lord, we've already come to you with free will offerings. We've come to you to lift you up, to praise you from our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would speak and that we would hear and that we would follow. Lord, thank you for your mercy through Jesus, because he's our way to you. Thank you for making the way for us. Lord, we thank you for putting us in a body that's alive, that's got vitality, that's seeking you, that's seeking to let you be known to the whole world. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming to save us. And thank you that you're going to finish the job one day. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are in the Gospel of Mark. We've been marching through chapter 1. And today, we're going to pick up in verse 21. Mark 1, verse 21, and we'll go through verse 28 today. I'm going to be reading from a New American Standard. You can follow along with whatever Bible or iPad or phone or device that you may have. So Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 21. What we just saw last week was that Jesus had called four disciples. And so now Jesus and these four, we pick up there. Verse 21, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere, into all the surrounding district of Galilee. It was back in 1954 that the then governor of Massachusetts, a fellow by the name of Christian Herter, he was running hard for his second term. Late one afternoon, after he'd been out chasing votes and had had no lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue and he was famished. He came down the serving line and held out his plate to the woman serving chicken. She put a piece on his plate and then looked to the next person in line. "Excuse me," Governor Herter said, "do you mind if I have one more piece of chicken?" "Sorry," she said, "I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken per person." "But I'm starved," the governor said. "Sorry," the woman said again, "only one to a customer." Governor Herter was usually a mild and unassuming type, but on this day, he felt like throwing his weight around just a little bit. "Do you know who I am?" he said to the woman. "I'm the governor of this state." The woman said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the woman in charge of the chicken. Now move along, mister." She was not impressed with his authority, nor was she under his authority. In our passage today, we're going to see authority at work. the real thing from the Lord Jesus. So as we start out, I want to draw your attention to verse 22. We start out in verse 21. They've come into Capernaum. Jesus is moving out of Nazareth, his ministry, down to Capernaum, which will be his Galilean capital for his first time, his first kind of time of ministry. And he goes into a synagogue on the Sabbath and begins to teach. And the first thing we're told in verse 22 is that they, the hearers, were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching, and we're told why. They were amazed, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The word for amazed here, it's a word that means to strike out. The idea being that something reaches out and strikes me so much that I am stunned. I'm dazed. It actually rocks me back. That's the idea of amazed here. And we're told that they were amazed because Jesus didn't teach like the scribes. The scribes, all they would do was they would read Scripture, and then they would read other men's thoughts about Scripture. What they missed, what they didn't have, and what they couldn't give was the mercy and justice that is our God's heart. So no wonder these people were stunned. No wonder they were amazed. They were used to having men tell them men's ideas. When Jesus shows up, they don't know what to do. But they know something's changed. They know something's different. The word for authority here, it's a word that means power to act. You can think of it in modern terms as the right stuff, or the ability to get her done would be one way you might think of it today. I hear that phrase a lot. That's the idea of the word authority here. It means power that moves out, that wins, that has its way. So you can see that these people, these early hearers of Jesus, what they were used to and what they got from Jesus, you can see why they were stunned. You can see why something had reached out and struck them. It was different. It was life-giving. Many of you have heard some or all of my testimony of how the Lord saved me. When I was in undergraduate school at UNC, Carolina, I was walking across campus one day. I'd already been reading the Scriptures. I'd already seen the biblical Jesus, but I still didn't understand. I still didn't grasp that Jesus could save me. And as I walked across campus, there was a man standing in this place called the Pit, in the middle of campus, and he was talking. He was just talking. He wasn't hollering at people. And he was just explaining Jesus and the Bible, very simply. He was fielding questions from us college kids. I didn't ask any questions that day. I just stayed and listened. But as I was standing there listening, this fellow's name is Cliff Connectley, I learned later. As I was listening to Cliff, a fellow to my left stepped out of the crowd and began not just to heckle Cliff, began to cuss at him. I mean, very mean-spirited, very ugly. And I realized after the fact that, of course, what this fellow was trying to do is he was trying to poke and prod Cliff enough that Cliff would get off his game spiritually and lose his cool. Well, Cliff, not only did he not lose his cool, not only was he on his game spiritually, this is how he responded. I will never forget these words. Cliff turned to this fellow and said, "Friend, you don't have to do that." And right then and there, I knew that whatever it was I was looking for, this fella Cliff, he had it. You know what I saw? Power. What I saw was real power to meet the need of the moment. Power, alive, active in this man's life that enabled him to not only did he not respond in kind, he responded with kindness. That power spoke to me more loudly than almost any other thing I heard that day. It made a way for me to hear and understand the gospel fully for the first time in my life. This is the same kind of power that these hearers of Jesus early on here in Capernaum, the same kind of power that was at work through Jesus and in their lives. Next, I want us to look at the verses 23 through 25, and I call this Jesus' authority is a dividing line. It was, but it also is. So it was in the scriptures here in Mark, but it also is here for us today. So let's just look at these verses very quickly. First, we're told that there was a man with an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit just means demon. It's an old Semitic way of referring to a demon, plain and simple. It's interesting to me. Jesus is simply in the synagogue teaching. But because his teaching is with authority, and because Jesus is a dividing line, when Jesus, the God-man, is teaching in the synagogue, this demon cannot stay quiet. He gets all roused up, and he cries out. He says in verse 24, "What business do we have with each other?" The actual original construction here, it's very simple. It's what we and you. In this part of the world at this time, that was a pretty common construction. It's the idea of you and I have nothing. It was a way to kind of deny something from someone or to push them away or simply declare what already is. So this demon says, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Well, the demon had it right. And we see here, Jesus is a dividing line. He creates a dividing line. The demon couldn't stay still because this power was at work in their midst. He is a dividing line. He was then and he still is. I love that he cries out, Jesus of Nazareth. There's the name. There's the name. Jesus of Nazareth. He says, have you come to destroy us? You know, when he says this demon, the demon is singular. It's just one demon in this man. But you notice he uses plural pronouns. Have you come to destroy us? What do we have to do with you? I believe this demon is speaking for the whole demonic community. When Jesus came onto the scene in the flesh, these demons understood that it was the beginning of their end. Don't you love that? That's our God. The same Jesus who showed up on the scene then and created a dividing line, and this demon couldn't stay still. That's the Jesus that indwells every follower today. So Jesus, this dividing line, this Holy One of God, the demon says, he rebukes this devil. This word rebuke, it's the idea of a threat that's backed with power. It's the idea that what Jesus says is on its way. Kind of a, you're going to get what's coming to you, demon. It's not just a word rebuke. The idea is that by his saying what he said, this demon understands that he's about to get what's coming to him. And I love that the demon calls him Holy One of God. Jesus' authority creates a dividing line then and now. Both then and now. So as I thought about this, I said, okay, the Holy One of God, that's what the demon calls him. He calls him his name, Jesus of Nazareth. And then he says, you are the Holy One of God. It's interesting that what the demon says, what the demon knows, what he declares, many people in that day never got. And many people today, of course, sadly. The demon got it right. The demon knew who he was. So as I thought about this, I said, well, what's the nature of this authority, this particular authority? Well, I think we're given that here in this verse. When the demon says, Holy One of God, I think why this authority? It's because he's holy God. We could say he's God, and that would be enough. But I think here in particular, Jesus' holiness, which is also how the demon refers to him, his holiness is what creates the dividing line. And he's still doing that today. Many of you are aware, some not, that just this past week, a pop icon, a fellow by the name of Prince, died. He was 57. If you're somewhat older than me, you're probably not too familiar with him. If you're about my generation and younger, especially if you, like me, did not grow up knowing Jesus, you probably know who Prince is or who he was. He was an actor, and singer, and producer, and became very famous in the early 80s, and that's when I was introduced to him and his music, and his music had a lot of influence on me. His music was full of immorality. Well, as I was researching, not looking for this sermon, but the Lord just provided. This is just phenomenal to me. As I was reading a little bit about him, I read about his first lead guitarist, a fellow named Dez. And he was pretty famous too at the time. He was kind of the right-hand man of Prince when Prince was really coming into great popularity and fame. This fellow Dez, his name is Dez Dickerson, short for Desmond Dickerson. What I didn't know then that I know now was that one Christmas, taking a break from their touring, Dez Dickerson took Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I loved reading Dez's account. He said once he received Jesus, he knew because of the immorality, because of the worldliness of that music that he was a part of, he knew that he would have to leave the band. And he did. As Prince's fame skyrocketed, this fellow stepped out, left the band, and eventually became a Christian music producer. Pretty neat. But what we see here is what Dez knew, what these demons experienced, was that Jesus is a dividing line. Because of his authority, because he is holy God, there's no gray spot for you or for me, not for Dez, not for these demons. These demons were, of course, on the wrong side. When Dez received Christ, he recognized that he, practically speaking, was involved in things on the wrong side of this dividing line. Jesus' holy God authority moved him, drew him to get on the right side of these issues. So Jesus' authority is presently a dividing line. And his authority will bring everyone together. You say, now that's kind of contradictory. As I was walking through this passage, it's all about Jesus' authority. In every respect, the human hearers are stunned, they're struck. They don't know what to do with this new teaching with authority. They've never experienced it before. The demon can't keep still. He can't keep quiet because holy God creates a dividing line. But this made me think of another place in the Scriptures where we see the authority of Jesus Christ. And it's Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 8 through 11 says this. Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, verse 9, for this reason also God has highly exalted him. Now, let me back up again. So, verse 8 tells us why what happens in verse 9 happens. Verse 8. Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. That's the key. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, verse 9. For this reason, that humility, that humbling himself, for this reason also God highly exalted him. God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of, here's that name again, Jesus. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see what happens? Because Jesus, because he humbles himself, his Father highly exalts him and gives him authority such that everyone, now not today, of course, not back when Mark was writing, everybody didn't come together then and fall down, and not today. Although that's what we've done today already. We said, Jesus, we exalt you. You are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of my life. You've given me eternal life. But what we see here is that there's going to come a time when everyone who's ever lived at the name of Jesus will fall down and will confess He's it. He's real God. So where does this authority come from? This authority that God would highly exalt the Son like this. Where's this authority from? Well, it's because He's humble God. We see that Jesus is a dividing line because He's holy. Just like that demon cried out. Here we see that because Jesus humbled Himself, because He made Himself low, not just taking on flesh. He took on flesh, right? That would be like you and me becoming a slug. This is a big deal. This is serious. He put on flesh and then He didn't stop so that we could be saved. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's a shameful death. Hebrews tells us He despised that shame and for the joy set before Him endured the cross. He humbled Himself. And so God highly exalted Him. And He's got authority such that one day everybody will bow before Him. Just like that demon couldn't stay silent, but he still was on the wrong side of the dividing line. There's going to come a day when no one can remain silent. No matter how we've lived our lives on this earth, whether we've entrusted ourselves to Him or not, there's going to come a time when we will all declare His worthiness. He's going to bring everybody together. Now let's look at the last two verses. I call this Jesus' authority makes Him famous. His authority makes Him famous. Verses 27 and 28. We see again that the people were amazed. It's a different word here. It's not the same word as up in verse 22, but it's the same idea of being struck. But this one has the specific idea of awe at divine power. The word that's used here, the particular word that's used here for amazed, it actually was used to speak of divinity in particular. In other words, this wasn't a word we wouldn't say, well, you know, I'm amazed that pizza was so good. We wouldn't use this word for that. We would use this word for, I'm amazed that God would come down and grab a hold of somebody like me and breathe life into me. That's this amazed. So the people are amazed. It says they debated or they discussed among themselves saying, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. Same word. They couldn't get away from it. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey. He commands, they obey. This was not lost on the people. They saw His authority in His teaching and they saw His authority in that when He commanded demons, they had to do what He said. And the word obey, He commands and the demons obey Him. This word obey, it comes from the same idea as, the same word as hear, to hear. And the idea is that what they hear, they must do. Do you see His authority? Flowing out from Him. This is really God in our midst. This is different. This is new. This changes everything. This changes everything. Now look what happens in verse 28. They're amazed. They say, what is this? They see the authority of Jesus. They see that He commands and demons obey. And the next thing, Mark records for us, immediately the news about Him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. They couldn't keep quiet. The word that's translated news, which is a fair translation of the word, many translations, and good translations, translate this word, same word, they translate it fame. And His fame spread everywhere. You know, that's the same thing that He wants to do with you and me. He wants us to see Him as holy God, to let Him divide rightly, right down our lives, and to call us and to grab a hold of us, and by grace through faith, to get us on the right side of the dividing line, to be with Him, to be in Him. And He wants us to follow in His footsteps and choose humility. And when we do those things, there's power. There's power. This reminds me, when I read about Jesus' authority and what happens on the heels of His authority, it reminds me of Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Jesus said, this is the very end of Matthew. He's already been raised up. And he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me, all authority in heaven and earth, it's our same word, by the way, same exact word. What's the next thing he does? He says, I have all authority. And then what's the next thing he does? Where does he go from there? He says, now go make me famous. If we are struck by his authority, like we should be, as we follow him, he makes himself famous. He makes himself famous. I got a few thoughts for us here, just in closing. Do you want Jesus' authority and power in your life? Do you want his authority and power in your life, both the holiness and the humility? Because it's a package deal. The holiness that calls us to declare there's nothing that you or I can do. Right? I got nothing. There's nothing I can do to save me. There's nothing I can do to save you. All I can do is come in faith and declare that what Jesus has done and who he is sufficient and entrust myself to him. Jesus is a dividing line. And we all know that. But he's also humble God. And he calls you and me to follow in his footsteps in that same way. Do you want that power working in your life? I'm going to assume you do because you're sitting here in a church service. Amen. You're here. We're here. Because we do want his power working in us. We want his power working in us, changing us, and coming out of us to make him famous. Second idea, do you want to make Jesus famous through your life? That's what he's got for us. That's why he's left us here. We saw it again last week. That's why he's got us here on this earth, to follow close and here to make him famous, to let the good news about Jesus saving sinners rock this world. Last but not least, some ideas. How do we get there? We pursue his holiness and his humility. Pretty straightforward. We pursue his holiness and his humility. So I got two last thoughts for you here. Seek help to get on the right side of the dividing line. If you don't know Jesus today, if you're here today and you're not sure where you stand with regard to Jesus, there's no middle ground. There's no fence. Jesus comes on the scene and he declares, I am God. You need me. Let me be your sin bearer. If you know Jesus today, and if there's some struggle in your life, if there's a place in your life where you recognize I'm not on the right side of the dividing line, maybe there's something you're struggling with and you say, you know, I don't want to stay in this place. I want Jesus to work in my life and to win in my life. I want his authority to rule in my life. Maybe you need some help. We all need help. You know, the Lord has given us each other. That wasn't just a kind of an aside he threw in. He's given us each other. We need each other. So maybe, if there's a place where you recognize you're not on the right side in some aspect of your life, if you're not on the right side of that dividing line, go to someone you can trust. Go to a brother or sister here. Come talk to us as pastors. We would love to talk with you. We would love to walk alongside you, pray with you, pray for you. There are elders here, deacons. You can seek out a safe place to get help. We all need help. 2 Timothy 2:22, the last part of the verse, says, now pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who seek God out of a pure heart. See, you were never meant to do it alone. That's part of the way God set this body up. We need each other. And last thought for us. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says this: do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, if we dwell on this verse, on these verses for just a little bit, oh my goodness, my toes get stepped on pretty fast. Yeah, I shared this in first service. Well, my wife and kids are here with us in second service, but I'm going to say it again anyway. Sometimes when I go home, I want to think, you know, my wife and kids are here to serve me. All right, I'm husband and daddy, and I go out and I work hard and I come home. Yes, some people are laughing, especially ladies are laughing. Thank you for not laughing too loud. But sometimes I want to think that, you know, it's my place to be able to come home, and even if I don't do it outright, overtly, but there's still this idea in me that now it's time for me to kick back, chill out, put my heels up, and be served. Well, the Bible flies right in the face of that. The humble God calls me to follow in His footsteps. The humble God calls me to put others above myself, whether I like them or not, whether they're fun for me to be around or not. So how can you and I have Jesus' power, His authority, working in us and coming out of us to make Him famous? We can follow holy God and humble God. You know, if I just choose holiness, if I say, well, I'm just going to pursue this holiness thing. I'm going to be right. Now, that's good, but it's not enough. I was at a big banquet here just some weeks ago, the DFPC banquet, Delaware Family Policy Council banquet. And every single speaker that got up and spoke, I really, really liked what they did. Every single speaker called every one of us that heard to follow closely, to live lives of purity and righteousness, to hold to what is true, to hold to what is good and right and lovely. We were called by every single speaker to never let go of what is true. And at the same time, every single speaker, now this impressed me, it really did. Every single speaker, as they called us to holiness, they also called us to humility. If I hold on to holiness, but I'm not humble, I may be on the right side of the dividing line, but I'll never be able to make Him famous because no one will want to be near me. Well, what if I choose humility and don't worry about the holiness part? Well, then what am I calling people to? It's a both and. The holy God and the humble God. That's how we'll know His power. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we see Your Son. We see Him in the Scriptures as He is, holy and humble. Oh God, would You work in each one of us, and would You work in us as a body? Lord, would You grow us more and more in holding to Your holiness, in pursuing holiness, in letting Jesus be that right dividing line for us. And at the same time, Lord, let us choose humility. Lord, You say mercy triumphs over judgment. Lord, let that be true in us as well. Lord, we love You. But mostly, we thank You for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.